great to be with you and talking again about Peter. As we spend our time in Eastertide, we continue to celebrate as a faithful people the fact that Easter is not a once-and-done event, but that Easter is a season we celebrate in the church for these 50 great days between the time that Christ rose and the time that Christ ascended into heaven. And this season in Cross Creek, we're spending that time focusing on the life of the rock upon whom the church will be built, Peter. Now, as Baptists, we're not real into what they call apostolic succession, okay? If you are a diehard Baptist and you don't know what that just means that they can still trace back the current pope through some really great machinations all the way back to Peter, the primacy, the first among equals of Peter, the rock upon whom the church would be built. We don't care that much about that. What we do care is that Peter is this disciple that Jesus has said will be the one who carries forth the kingdom. So what does Peter do when Jesus comes back from the tomb and ascends into heaven? And so for three weeks we're going to be looking at that. We started last week with Peter being reinstated into the fold. He had this moment with Jesus on the shore where Jesus is feeding him awkward breakfast fish. And Peter has put back on his clothes, and he's dripping wet, and he's been in the water. And he gets this moment with Jesus where he kind of embraces all that's happened. He finally gets broken enough to have his feelings hurt when Jesus continues to ask him, "Do you love me?" And we end that story with Peter saying, "You know, Jesus, you know all this stuff. You know that I love you." And he becomes this freed person to carry forth his gospel ministry. Well, in today's story, and next week's story, we're going to look at how that explores forth in his life. But let me give you a little bit of a fast forward. So Peter gets reinstated by Jesus. Jesus ascends into heaven. And Jesus tells the disciples to go and wait in the upper room. So they go and they sit in this upper room, and they're praying together, and the Holy Spirit comes down upon them like tongues of fire, and they get full of the Spirit, and then Peter stands up and preaches a sermon that saves like 5,000 people. That's pretty awesome. That's even better than OC, okay? don't tell him I said that. I don't want the whole Houston Mafia coming out. But he preaches this amazing sermon, and he becomes this force to be reckoned with. And in fact, that's what Acts is going to trace. Acts is going to trace exactly what Peter is up to and then what Paul is up to. So Peter preaches this amazing sermon, and Peter, together with John, begin to go out and do ministry. And they heal some people. And they go, and Peter becomes known for his preaching. And he preaches, and he converts, and he's talking and doing and going, and it's all this amazing stuff. But Peter is still known as the apostle to the good Jewish insiders, okay? And right before today's story, we hear of the conversion of Saul, who will become Paul. If you were following along with the narrative of Acts, you would know that Stephen, one of the disciples, one of the gathered, has just been stoned to death. He has been killed. And that one of the people there was Saul, who really did not like the Christians. And so Saul was there, and then Saul goes on, and Peter's doing some other stuff. And then Jesus shows up to Saul, blinds him, and makes him a minister to the Gentiles. Okay? That's going on in the background. Everybody with me so far? That was a real fast forward. Okay? So now let's talk about Peter. So Peter is out kind of around, and I really like the language about it. Right before the part that the pastor read today about Peter showing up in Joppa, there's this great thing that this is the line. This is actually what the scripture says. Now, as Peter went here and there, he's just kind of wandering around, right? Now, that is something all of us can relate to. Every single one of you goes here and there every day, right? You kind of go here, you kind of... Guess what? You are on a mission for God here and there. Peter's wandering around, he's going here and there among the believers. He heals this guy, and then we get to the big story, which is really fascinating. He shows up at after being called into Joppa. So in Joppa, there is this disciple named Tabitha, which in the Aramaic means gazelle. If you translate a gazelle into the Greek, it's Dorcas. I bet she went by the Aramaic most of the time. She is one who is known for all of her good works of charity. She is a saint. She is this one who is living with these open hands among the believers there. And Tabitha gets sick, and Tabitha dies. And so they take her, and they prepare her body. They clean her up, and they put her in an upper room. And then they call Peter. Right? They say, hey, this saint has died, and we'd like you to come down. Now, we already got her ready. I'm not sure what we want you to do, because we cleaned her up. We got her ready. Put her in the room. So Peter goes down to Joppa. And this, I love this scene, particularly as I'm watching several of you knit right now, okay? I'm glad you're doing it. I was actually hoping you were. Peter shows up, goes up into the upper room, and all of these people who are here, these widows that Dorcas has been caring for, these others, they bring out the goods she has made for them. Okay? So Peter, dead body, and people full of knitwear. Right? Peter, dead body, and people who are like, this is the scarf that Dorcas made for me. Which is why you will often see any ministries called Dorcas Ministries. This is the stuff she did to take care of us. Now what are you going to do, Peter? It's an interesting question because we know that Tabitha is one who has cared for the least of these. We know that she is one who has been caring for these widows and those who were not cared for. And here's another really interesting tidbit about this story. In the entirety of the New Testament, the feminine disciple, the term in the Greek for feminine disciple, is only used once. Right here. Not only that, but she is one of the few women in Scripture who is not associated with someone else. It doesn't say, Mary the mother of so-and-so, or Martha the sister of blah-blah-blah. It just says there was this disciple named Tabitha. So she is this important woman in the ministry in Joppa who was important enough to get this distinction in Scripture. Now, the last time that Peter has really had to deal with a bunch of ministry to widows and orphans and the least of these, he's not been doing a great job. Early on, after Jesus has ascended and the Spirit has come down, Peter and the other disciples are accused of not caring well for the Hellenistic widows. They weren't taking good care of the folks they were supposed to be. So they end up appointing these other helpers, these deacons to help to take care for this ministry. But the last time Peter had anything to do with widows, he wasn't on his A game. So here is Peter and a dead body and a room full of knitwear. What's he going to do? So he sends everyone out. He says, you guys, carry forward. And he kneels down, prays, and he is there with her, and then he speaks these simple words, Tabitha, be up. And she does. And unlike Lazarus, the good news is she's already been cleaned, so she's not seeing. Lazarus, Peter's back. Tabitha, already cleaned. Tabitha, get up. And she gets up, and he shows her off to everyone. And because of his action and presence there, people believe. They are encouraged. The faith grows. Before we unpack a little bit more, I just want to remind you how this story ends. He tells her to get up, and he He picks her up, he grabs her hand, he pulls her up, he shows her off. Everybody believes, and then there's this interesting last little line. This story began with, now as Peter went here and there, and it ends with, meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. It's a strange way to end this segment of Scripture. Let's unpack that a little bit, and let's back up. All of you are going to leave here, and you're going to go there, right? I don't know where your there is, but it's kind of like you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, right? Obviously, you could. Probably, maybe. But you're going to leave here, and you're going to go there. And while you're somewhere on the way from here to there, there's going to be an opportunity for you to be present with someone who is hurting. There's going to be an opportunity for you to speak healing into the life of someone. You're going to have an opportunity for obedience today. And when you do, let's be clear. You're not to stand aloof and say, all right, you guys get your junk together. I was praying to Jesus, and Jesus told me that all of you need to get your stuff together. No. No. That is not how it works. Peter shows up, he speaks healing, he kneels down, he prays, he speaks the healing, then, put it in the right order, and then he grabs her and helps her up. It's not enough to tell people how to get their lives together.
Amen.
First of all, that's very assumptive. Second of all, the model for us is to speak healing and then to help. Aaron, can I pick on you for a minute? Come here. Let's talk about obedience for a second before we talk about Simon the Tanner. Okay, so here's the goal of this game. Ireland, let me just get over there by Kay. Okay? So Ireland's going to go from here to there, okay? We're going to say, hey, Ireland.
Hey,
Ireland. Yeah, nobody was going to ask you. Good job. All right, so Ireland's going to go from here to there. This is her here, back by Ron in the back corner. That's her there, okay? But this is how life works. All of us think eventually we're getting from here to there, right? This is how it really happens. The most direct route would be kind of like right here, down that way, over there, I don't know. All right, I want you to go from there a little more. Just going from here to there, right? That's not too indirect a route. She's going to be able to get back to Ron in just a minute, right?
Yay.
I like that. All right, now I want you to go to Daryl. Or Kathy Lee. Go to Kathy Lee. That's easier than Daryl. You know what? She's honestly, she's just working the periphery, right? She's still no farther away, right? She detoured a little bit, but all of us can deal with a little detour, right?
Right.
All right, I want you to go over by this chair. Come on, this is what life is like, right?
Amen.
All we're ever trying to do is get from here to there. But if one of you has had that direct of a route, then you are the exception by like a millionfold to the rule. Life does not go as you had it planned.
Amen.
All you can do is go from here to there. All right, let's go see him in the back row. Do you mind standing for just a second, Alan? No, you keep going. Do you mind hanging out just for a second? Okay. Yes, you do mind? No, you don't. All right, just stay there for a second. All right. Let's talk about Peter for a second. So, Peter's going here to there. He was a fisherman, right? He was a fisherman. His whole, like, shtick was fishing. He liked to take his clothes off, get in the boat, and go fishing. That's what we learned about him last week. He liked to fish. And in fact, even after Jesus came back from the tomb, he was still fishing. And now, We end this story with Peter in Joppa. Let me give you a little preview for next week. Do you know what other biblical story starts in Joppa? The story of Jonah. Jonah is a prophet in Joppa who does not want to go to Nineveh. Next week, Peter's going to be an apostle in Joppa who doesn't want to go to Cornelius. Luke wrote it that way on purpose. Okay? But what we know is that Peter is doing his best while going here and there to be obedient. He detours to go to Joppa. He's confronted by Tabitha. Well, he's confronted by the body of Tabitha and a bunch of knitwear. And then he brings about healing. He helps her up. People believe. And then he's already in a position through the daily obedience to be ready for a major shift in his worldview. Through the day-to-day being present with God. Because now he's in Joppa and he's staying with a tanner. Have any of you ever been around when they have tanned animal skins? It is super nasty, okay? That is the actual technical term for it. Super nasty. It stinks, and guess what? If you were a good practicing Jew, it's unclean. So Peter, who is all concerned about the Jewishness of Jesus, winds up not where he needs to be yet, but because of his obedience, he winds up poised, primed, and ready for the next move. Okay, Ireland, you can go ahead and go get Ron a high five. You're already there. We want to see you get there. Ron, give her the high five. Ron, also sorry to put you on the spot, but you were... Put you on the spot. That's kind of typical. Look. Put you on the spot. You're just having a good time. All right. You can sit down. Thank you. What makes Peter such an amazing follower and such a great story for us is that he is us, right? He is enigmatic. He's foolhardy. He's so excited and on fire for Jesus that he denies him 3 times. But all the same, his inability to keep it together does not preclude God's possibility in his life. And so Peter just keeps going from here to there, and he takes the detours, and he is obedient in the moment. And it is that daily obedience to the opportunities at hand that poise him for transformation. Tabitha is a saint. Tabitha is one who has impacted the community. And so Peter is able to go and compound her impact and to bless the community further by his presence there. You are going to leave here and be surrounded by saints, some of whom you don't even recognize. In fact, you don't even have to leave here to be surrounded by saints.
Amen.
I was going to make a joke and say some of you may have to move, but... You are going to have the opportunity to bless those around you today. You're going to have the opportunity to exhibit a new level of obedience today. And it may not seem like a big deal, but it's those little moves in the right direction that stack up eventually, roundabout, here and there, circuitously, that eventually get us where God has wanted us to be all along. My prayer for us is that we would have eyes to see each opportunity, and that we would live fearlessly and obediently every time.